as the choir's going down, look at Psalm 122 again. I want you to look at one verse, and I'm going to use that as a launching point for the sermon today. Verse number one, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can I tell you something? I love being at church. I love being at Grace Baptist Church. I enjoy being here. I enjoy the fact that God enjoys being here. Hey, God's doing a work here. It seems like, okay, look around. We got a full house. If everybody were well and everybody were here, we'd be putting out extra chairs. And I mean that, and that's a good thing, and we're adding new people. God's at work here. I told Brother Fugit early this morning, he said, Brother Bush, seems like your church is hitting another gear. I said, yes, sir, passing gear. I said, pedal to the metal, hair's on fire, let's charge it up. He said, I love it. We are a called out assembly, and we're called out from the world to be what God wants us to be. That's what the word church means. The word church is the word ecclesia, which means called out assembly. Now, we didn't leave the world, but we come away from the world to meet together. We're called out of the world to meet together in a local place. There's no such thing as a universal church. All the Christians don't make up the true church. That won't help until we get to heaven, folks. That's till we're called out at the rapture. Amen. When he says, come up hither. Now, it's not the same the church is not some religious gym where we work out and make ourselves feel better. Or work out and make yourselves feel worse. I don't know. But it is the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a building made out of wood. I hate to tell you, but the church building isn't made out of anything different than any other building. It's not the structure itself. It is the, I'll use the biblical word, the sanctification of it. It's been set apart for a special purpose. The building itself is not holy. The building itself is not special. The purpose for which the church is. Now, it's a place where we can go and learn to be what God wants us to be. The church is a place where we can go and not feel we need to be like the world to be accepted. Let me say that again. Church isn't a place you go to feel accepted by the world. Okay, smile. I love you. I'm going to make a statement here that could hair lip some things, and I don't give a rip. This is why we don't need worldly churches. We are to come out of the world and not be like the world. Why do churches want to look like the world? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We are not supposed to have the rock music. We're not supposed to have the fog machines and all the vileness and just come in your PJs. And I think that the house of the Lord ought to be set apart. We're not to be like the world. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
say why? Church is a place that Jesus started. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. By the way, it's been hated since Jesus started it, and Jesus knew we needed a place called church. Church is not a place of worship. I hate to disappoint you. Worship is to be done in private. You won't find one public worship service in that book anywhere. The word worship means loving on God, telling God how much you love him. How wonderful, how powerful, how magnificent, adoring God, so to speak. I love my wife, but I love her at home differently than I love her here in public. You say, why is that? I'm supposed to love her all times, but when we're home, I love her extra. That's what worship is. I can tell God how much I love him here, but I can tell him anywhere I go. But worship is done privately. Everybody got that one? I'm trying to be appropriate here. God's people gather away from the world to fellowship, learn the Bible, and get spiritually charged up from God's word and God's man so they can make it out in the world between services. That's what the church is. Now, I'm going to shift gears. The temple was done away with when Jesus went to Calvary and resurrected. The church, listen to me, the temple points to what man needed. That was Jesus. The church looks back at what Jesus did do for us. The temple was a picture of what was coming. When Jesus fulfilled it, he said, destroy the temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and that you're not your own? You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, which is God's. That means this, the temple today is the body of the believer. That is where the presence of God dwells, is in the body of the believer. Hey, look how stupid the world is right now. Can you imagine what it's going to be like after the rapture when all the saved people are gone and the Holy Spirit's presence isn't here? Imagine how bad that's going to get. So the temple today is the body of the believer, and that is why the church is not to be made after the temple in any way. Temple worship was done away with at Calvary, according to Colossians chapter 2. All those things were nailed to the cross. The rituals, the feasts, the holy days, the priestly garments, and all those things. Say what? Because Jesus said, I am he. I fulfilled it all. I'm not only the Lamb of God, but I am the high priest that ever intercedeth at the throne of God. He completed everything, all those things pictured. Therefore, we don't need to picture those things. He started the church. And I'm going to make a statement here. Jesus didn't give the temple a great commission, but he did give the church a great commission. Jesus didn't pay for the temple with his blood. He did pay for the church with his blood. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and Acts chapter 3, and Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 20. He paid for the church with his blood. Now, listen to this. The disciples went to the temple first to get people saved and become members of the church. You say, that's not real ethical. Well, they needed the truth. They were religious, but they needed the truth that what they were doing had already been fulfilled, and they needed to trust what Christ did for them. It was the leaders of the temple that crucified Jesus. You see, the temple is religion by man. Christianity is the church. Now, the temple crowd is the group that killed Jesus and persecuted Christians. Now, we need church. I'll say that again. We need church. I happen to believe the decay in society can be traced to the decay in the church and spirituality in our churches in America today. The problem is not in the State House or the White House. The problem is in the church house. Problem is men of God who aren't men of God. They have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They play church, they play religion, but we have no spiritual, well, let me rephrase that. We don't have as many spiritual churches. Churches, like temples, sit empty awaiting people to come give them power and money today. We are not here for a power surge. I am not here to build my name and my reputation to say, look at me. No, it's look at him. It is not about this preacher. It's not about that preacher. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Word of God. It's not about a person. Everybody doing okay? The average church has more attendance in the graveyard attached to it than sit in the pew in the house of God. And there's probably more life in the graveyard than there is the average church. Drive by these churches and they got a cemetery out, and I count the gravestones, and then you count the cars and you wonder, I wonder what the people laying under those gravestones are thinking about the church right now. The average church literally has more people buried out behind back than attend the church today. Church in society today is nothing more than a social club or a lodge. Well, church is a place that everybody needs, and I believe every person needs a church. I believe that. Today I want to show you what the church is and our responsibility to it. I call it, let's go to the house of God. Number one, why do we need church? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I have many verses I'll give you today. We're not going to look at them all, or we'll be here till tonight's service, and some of you couldn't handle that. But Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to show you a verse. I've already quoted it once today to you. But Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, Jesus is talking. He said, "I will build my church." He said, well, that means that Peter was the first pastor or pope or whatever you want to call him. No, that's not what it is. Jesus started the church, not Peter.
That's right.
You say, well, Peter's name is the word Petros. It means rock. No, it means pebble. Did you ever get a pebble in your shoe? Kind of annoying, isn't it? You got to stop and get rid of that thing because it should not be there. Now, wait a minute. Peter's name means pebble. It does not mean rock. But if you went to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6, you find out that it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone.
Yes, sir.
That's a rock. That's all. That's the foundation stone on which the building of the church was constructed, and Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Peter was not the cornerstone. He was the pebble in the shoe annoying everybody. You have to see that rock that the church was built on was Jesus. That's why he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't say my temple. Look at Acts chapter 20. I referred to this a little while ago, but Acts chapter 20. Say, why is the church so important to you and to Jesus, preacher? I'll show you exactly why it's important to God. Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 28. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock." Oh, aren't the Christians called sheep? Okay, so bunch of sheep together is called a what? A flock. "Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Calvary was not only about your salvation, but it was the purchase of the church. He was paying the price for the church. It was the doing away of the temple, and it was the building of the church, and he bought and paid for it with his blood. Mr. John MacArthur, years ago, 20, 25 years ago, said, "The blood of Jesus isn't important. It just trickled to the foot of the cross and it was gone." Mr. MacArthur's a heretic. Jesus put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven for your salvation, but also for the purchase of the church.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Say, I don't think you should call names. Good, then don't do it. I will. The church was not established for man to show God or to show other men how good we think we are. It is a place away from the world to get help and strength in which we are to live. Folks, you are made out of dirt. Brother Juan, you got dirt. I got light dirt, but guess what? It's still dirt.
Right, that's right.
Brother Randy, you got hairless dirt. You didn't get any dust bunnies in your dirt. Can I tell you something? Who are we to compare dirt to dirt? Dirt's still dirt.
Amen.
Well, my dirt's cleaner than your dirt. It's still dirt. Period. Who are we thinking we impress somebody with dirt? Well, I have clean dirt. Well, I'm glad you have clean dirt. My dirt's sinful. I don't know about your dirt. But I do know this. Dirt is dirt. That's why when you die, your body turns to dirt. It doesn't turn to oil. We'll talk about that tonight. You are not a fossil fuel. Some of you may be fossilic, but you're not a fossil fuel. You say, what does that mean? Old, all right? Just trying to help you a little bit here. The church was not established for us to say, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. Do you know what you are? You're a dirty, rotten, filthy, no good, hell-bound sinner like everybody else. If it weren't for the grace of God and trusting him and what he did for you to take you to heaven, you're still on your way to hell. There's not a one of us that deserve what we have. Anything this side of hell is a blessing of God. God gave the church to us so that we had one place to go to on earth, away from the world, that's a place similar to what God wanted us to be in. I watched some of you crawl in here on Wednesday nights after being beat up at work for 3 days. Say, why do you have Wednesday night church, preacher? Because most people can't go from Sunday to Sunday and stay spiritual.
That's right.
You need that recharge. You eat three meals a day, you need three services a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Dr. Robertson used to say, three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. Say, why is that? Because the Christian needs those just like you need food physically to feed your body to keep it going. You need food spiritually to keep you going.
Amen.
By the way, this is why the church should not have the world's music. We're supposed to be called out of the world, not to be like the world.
Yes,
our music should be different than the world. And by the way, it is.
Yes.
I keep my finger on it. You're looking at a preacher that there's not a piece of music done from behind this pulpit right here that I have not seen, read the words to it, and listened to the music of it to make sure that it's going to be done right. He approves it first, and then if he's approved it, he brings it to me to approve. I go through it with a fine-tooth comb, doctrinally and musically. We don't do any music that hadn't been written after 1995, it's got to be at least 25 years old before we'll do it. You say, why, preacher? It's got to stand the test of time. Time is an indicator of greatness, by the way. Everybody doing okay? Say, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you. I'll take amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me over this little bar hop do diddy little thing that goes on today in churches. When you can't tell when the Beatles look more fundamental than the average church Southern gospel group, we got problems.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? The Oak Ridge Boys in Alabama with their wild hair are not gospel groups. Sorry. Man, I'm having fun right now. By the way, this is why we shouldn't act like the world in church. You know, we ought to live like Christians all the time, but especially at church. The church ought to be a little heaven on earth. It ought to be a little bit more like heaven than it is like the world. By the way, that's what Grace Baptist Church is. Did you ever come crawling in here and you walk out and you go, oh, man, it was good to be there. I needed that. By the way, that's why this preacher works real hard to make sure that he gives you what you need, not what you want. That's why I'm not going to sit here and tell you all my problems. I'm going to help you with yours. Man, I watched some preachers depress their church, and no wonder it's dead as last year's Christmas tree. Nobody wants to come and listen to all his problems. They want to find out, you know, he stubbed his toe and he busted his nose and his wife's leaving him and his kids hate him. And you don't need to hear all those things. You don't need to hear of all the attacks. It's about time the man of God gets a backbone, stands up and say, thus saith the Lord, not what's everybody else saying about me. It's not about me, it's about him. Boy, that's good stuff. So why do we need the church? We need the church because Jesus started it for us. Number two, you ready for the next gear? Here we go. God compares the church to a marriage and a home. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And I wish I had time to read all of these verses. I thought you could listen fast. Can you listen fast? You get turned in your Bible, you just follow with your finger because I can read it faster than you can read it. All right? Ephesians 5, look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Uh-oh. So he's comparing husbands and wives, marriage to church. And he is the savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, watch this, and gave himself for it. In other words, quit being so selfish and think everything in your home is about you. You're not King Tut. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So God compares marriage and the home to the church. Our home is to be like the church. Unfortunately, most churches are like the average worldly home. Everybody doing okay? It's supposed to be a place of love. But did you know that according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that when God says, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. Love equals rules. God said love is following the rules. Did you know there are rules to marriage? Friday, Michael and Mindy will get married, and I will make them say to each other that they are going to keep themselves only for each other. That means you're supposed to be pure in your marriage and commit your entire life, physically, mentally, every which way you can, to each other and not cheat on one another. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Say why? Because that's the way it's supposed to be with the church and to God. We are to commit to him and do what he said. Those are the rules. If you love me, keep my commandments. What are the commandments? His word. I wonder why so many churches have their councils, but they don't have the word of God. Well, the church council says we can do this. How about what does God say? I don't need a church council. I need the word of God. Boy, that's good stuff. Marriage is a commitment, not a contract. Marriage is a commitment. By the way, I believe that's what being a church member is all about. It's a commitment. God says you should leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. I've already counseled them some. And one of the first things I taught them was out of Genesis, where it says you should leave and cleave. My daughter ends having to obey daddy the moment she says, "I do." Until then, I can stop it. I'm not going to. You've heard me say, I want her as happy as my wife and I have been for the last 31 years. I want Josh and Ruth Ann as happy as we have been for 31 years. Say, "Oh, are you going to cry, preacher?" No, I'm happy for them. I don't plan on crying. I can't tell you, it won't come. But I'm not losing my daughter. She's not stopping being my daughter. I gain another son. More help when he shows up. He gets to pay for her now. I don't have to. Glory to God. Marriage is a commitment. It's not a contract that you can just sign and say, "Well, we'll try it for a year and see how that works." According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, that word assembling is the word churching. We ought not forsake. What does forsake mean? That means you have left it. You've left your commitment of it. Some of you ladies have been forsaken by a husband, or you men been forsaken by a wife. God says, don't forsake me in your church attendance. It's something that we ought to join. Acts chapter 2, verse number 47 says that they added daily to the church such as should be added. Ephesians 5:31, we read it just a little while ago about becoming a part of the church. Now, I believe the church is something that we ought to join up with. And I'm going to say this, nobody can do everything in the church. If you think you can do everything that there is to do at this church, you have to be paid staff, and even we can't do it all. There came a time where the preacher said, "I need help." That's why we hired him. There's times he does things, I don't show up. You say, "Why?" I'm tired. Time for the young buck to run it a while. Brother Mike was working on a project, and he asked me a question. I said, "I don't know. That's Brother Josh's. Ask Brother Josh." Could I have answered the question? I think I could have, but it wasn't mine to answer. It's his. He has areas of responsibility. Hey, look at the music around this place. How he's grabbed a hold of this thing, and man, he's got this thing winging away here. You can't do everything, be at every activity. Many of you sometimes work weird shifts and have to miss church services. I get that. I went to Bible college. I worked 4 to midnight every day, 5 days a week. Do you know how many Wednesday night church services I made it to in Bible college? But you were going to be a preacher. Yeah, and I had bills to pay. Brother Hiles used to say, "You fellas, you got to pay your bills and be honest, or you'll never be a pastor." He said, "You're going to have men in your church someday that need to work for a church service." He said, "Now, if they choose to work it, it's one thing. But if they're forced to work it, it's another thing." Everybody doing okay? It's going to happen. I get it. I'm for you. Man doesn't take care of his family, the Bible says, is worse than an infidel. I get it. But I think we ought to be to as much as we can be. Boy, that's good preaching. Man, preacher. Church is a place that we love and treat each other with the love they need, and we forget what we want. Do you know, in a marriage, the happiest of marriages is when you're not worried about what you get, but what you can give. When you forget about, well, I'm going to do this and maybe she'll do this for me, that's not love. That's manipulation. Love is so-and-so, my wife wants this. My daughter wants this. Now, not everything can you get them or do for them because it may not be feasible or right. But you ought to want to. By the way, it's an intimacy that's supposed to be private and not bring the world into it. Why in the world would our love for God, would we want to bring the perversion of the world into our love for God? We wonder why America is such a mess right now. Let's go to the churches today and find out why. God does not want to, oh man. God does not want us to be adulterous in our church by being disloyal to satisfy our own desires. Be careful you don't become guilty of spiritual adultery. Be careful that you don't, well, I don't agree with this, so I'm going to run do this. You'll just run from church to church to church to church. Get in, settle in, jump in, the water's fine. You're not going to agree with me 100% of the time. I don't even agree with me 100% of the time. There comes a point in time where you grow up and are willing to say, I made a mistake. Everybody doing all right? Man, we have churches filled full of spiritual adultery. I'm not saying there's not a time where you should change churches. That's not what I'm saying. I believe it's right to change churches sometime. When there's a doctrinal issue, when somebody's wrong about the faith, it's time to change. If I get up and say the King James Bible is not the Word of God, and you can get saved any way you want, do me a favor, walk out those doors and don't come back. And if you don't, you're wrong. I have no problem with that. But barring it being doctrinal, let's just jump in, settle in, the water's okay. Church is not a one-night stand or even a long-term affair. It ought to be something we're committed to. If our home attendance was like our church attendance, how good would a home would we have? I'm not looking. Can I say something? Everything that's at church is to help your home. Look at Psalm 122 again, verse number 8. Look at verse 7. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Wow. Do you know your home will be better because of a good church? I go back to what's going on in America today. I wonder where their pastors are right now. How come the pastors aren't out on the streets preaching to their people, get back to the house of God and act like a human being? Everybody doing okay? If I turned the boob tube on and I saw you all protesting in downtown Martinsburg doing something stupid, I'll promise you I'm going to go down there and skin you alive. I'll stand with the police and preach against what the wrong that you'll do. Everybody doing okay? My daughter showed me something. They had this mama. She grabbed a hold of her boy. She caught him stealing something or throwing something at a police officer. She had one handful on one side, and she was slapping him upside the head on the other side. So I don't think she ought to have done it. Well, she knew he shouldn't have done what he did. But the funniest part of the whole thing was the guy standing about 10 feet behind that mama going like this. Say, why was he looking like that? He was looking down the street to see if his mama was coming. Mm-hmm. If we had more mamas out there grabbing them kids up, whooping on them a little bit, they wouldn't be out there throwing rocks at the police. And it's criminal that they're bringing tractor trailer loads of bricks and rocks into these cities and dumping them off for Antifa. I have a niece who's a police officer in Tampa Bay, Florida. Over 50% of the arrests in Tampa Bay, the people live in Chicago. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that the teaching and the preaching is to help your family? I am here to help you, not destroy you. But there's every once in a while, my daddy would say, son, this is going to be good for you. And it sure didn't seem good at the time. He may have loved me, but it sure didn't seem like love at the time. But I'm glad that he was hard on me so that I could become the man that I am today. Having good ethics isn't always easy, but it's the right thing to do. Being honest is not always easy, but it's the right thing to do. I remember one time as a kid, I found a $5 bill or a $10 bill laying out in the parking lot. And back then, that was a lot of money. I mean, $5, man, that's what I got to mow somebody's yard. Work an hour, hour and a half mowing somebody's grass. And if I got $5, man, I was rich. I was at the store or something. My dad was with me. I said, Dad, look what I got. And I went to put it in my pocket. He said, what are you doing with that? I said, well, I found it. He said, it's not yours. He walked me back in there into the customer service area and made me give it to that lady behind the counter. Now, she gave it back to me, said nobody had asked for it. But my dad taught me, if you find money, you take it in where it's at and see if it's somebody else's, not yours. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers, isn't that in the Bible? No. Man, I'm almost afraid to pick up money in parking lots now. Did you know the activities are for your families? Get your kids involved in youth activities where with all the disease and junk going on, it was almost impossible to have anything. Brother Josh is getting ready to start some youth activities back up. Get your kids involved. It'll help your family. They need time away from you. After this quarantine, you want them away for a while. It's amazing how many parents will appreciate teachers now that they had to teach their own kids. Somebody sent me something. I loved it. 50 million American children being taught in places where there were guns and nobody was shot. Hoorah! Do you know church is a place to have friends and fellowship, and you ought to come? I believe the best friends you have ought to be right here. Say why? We're all gathering together, helping each other. We're spinning around on the same piece of dirt, and we're locally assembly called out to be what God wants us to be. Hey, let's build a friendships here. Call somebody up or see them at church and say, hey, how about we meet for dinner one night? Or why don't you come over for dinner? Or whatever. And learn what fellowship's all about. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, it's a place where we go soul winning and help other people and try to bring other people into the fold. Number three, God compares the church to being a body. Are you doing your part? We won't take time to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 26 through 31, talks about that though because you're not a foot, that you don't feel like you need to be a part of it, and you separate yourself from the body and because you're not a hand, that kind of thing. It's kind of a comical thing that God uses in Scripture there, but he's talking about us working together as one body. Did you know your body's made up of a lot of parts? I think 208 bones or something like that. I've broken a lot of them. You know, most churches are handicapped at best. Most of them are laying in bed on life support. The body is meant to work and grow. And if it doesn't, something's wrong. I think I was, how big was I, Mom, when I was born? 7 pounds, 13 ounces, something like that. Yeah, I was under 8 pounds. Do you know that at 53 years old, if I still weighed 8 pounds, something's wrong? You know, I was 20-some inches long. If I was only 20 inches tall, by the way, why do they say when something's born it's 20 inches long, but when you know, I'm 5'8" tall, but I'm not 5'8" long. Doesn't make sense to me why we say it's 23 inches long. No, it's 23 inches tall, all right? Just because it can't stand up on its own doesn't mean it's not. Anyway, can I tell you something? If I hadn't grown, something's wrong. And if a church is not growing, something's wrong. Maybe it's spiritual food. Did you know sometimes people don't grow well because they don't eat the right food? I promise you, there are better preachers out there by far. But you'll go long and hard to find somebody that'll feed you better food. Now, it might not be filet mignon and all these other fancy foods, but meat and taters will sustain you for a while. And corn and green beans and ham, it'll sustain you for a while, unless you're Jewish. Bacon and eggs and sausage and biscuits and gravy, they'll sustain you a while. Now I'm preaching down right where you live. Now wait a minute. You need spiritual food. What is spiritual food? Teaching and preaching. Amen. You need the preaching of the Word of God. I believe every one of you ought to read your Bible every day. I believe you ought to be getting things out of that book for yourself. Praise the Lord. I'll promise you one thing. If you're not reading the Bible, and even if you are, you haven't been reading it and studying it like I have for the last 40 years. Oh, I said that to a young preacher this week. He said, this August I will have been preaching for 40 years. He said, wow, Brother Bush, that's as long as Moses. I said, Josh, can you pull this sword out of my back right now? I said, you little twit. Man, if I could have reached my hand through the phone and punched him, I would have. Right smack dab in the nose. Can I tell you something? You need spiritual food, but not only do you need food, after you eat, you need exercise. To be healthy, you have to keep moving. That which is not used is lost. You need spiritual exercise. By the way, that's why going to church is important. Going to church. What is that? Exercise. That's why soul winning is important, because you got to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. You have to get off your blessed assurance to do it. That's why serving in the church, getting involved in the music or the nursery or junior church or Sunday school or bus route, whatever. We ought to get active in serving. That way we exercise ourselves spiritually so we can help somebody else. I don't teach all the adults right now in Sunday school. Brother Mike teaches the adult class. And I have a class that will start back up here in a week or so. But you say, why do you do that? Because Brother Mike needs to grow. Mrs. Lopez teaches a class. Brother Barnes teaches a class. My daughter-in-law teaches a class. Brother Josh teaches a class. You say, why? Because they need to grow. I have assistant teachers in all these classes, and they're studying the lesson too. That way, if the teacher's sick or unable to be there, they can just step right in and it's cared for. Can I tell you something? Why do you do that, preacher? Because they need to grow too. And the more people studying that book, ready to teach that book, by the way, you'll learn it more if you've got to teach it.
Amen.
You learn a whole lot more by teaching than you do by listening.
That's right.
So we ought to get involved. We ought to let the Bible be the head of the body.
That's right.
Did you know man makes a pretty bad head of the church? Do you know what, to me, one of the biggest oxymorons there is in religion today? Community church. Called out assembly, community church. That's about as conflicted of a statement as you can make. Well, let's find out what the community wants. It will be to the community what they want. Maybe they'll come, hear the word. Give me a bucket and let me barf. I'm sorry, vomit. That is as contrary to the word of God as it comes. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying it's not right scripturally. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Christ is supposed to be the head of the church. He's the brain center. Just so you know, I am not the head of Grace Baptist Church. God is.
That's good.
I'm his assistant.
That's good.
In man's eyes, I may have the role of pastor, but he paid for it. He's the head of the church.
Right.
Orders come from headquarters, and headquarters is not sitting in an office in Tennessee somewhere. Everything is to flow from him through us to you. I'm kind of the neck or the mouth of the church. He's the brain and the head, and I just get to say what he's telling me to say, and everybody else, we're supposed to be doing it. Boy, that's good. By the way, sinful man makes a lousy head. Look how messed up churches are today. So, we're also supposed to help weak members. Did you know if you break a finger, you're not supposed to just cut the stupid thing off? You know, if you stub your toe, you're not supposed to go to the doctor and have them cut it off. That stupid thing, it hurts. Cut it off! Well, if you stubbed as many toes as I have, you'd be up to your hips. Wouldn't have any feet. No, you try to heal it back up. Try to keep it there as long as you can, because before too long, you run out of too many parts, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You can't call Napa and get more. In other words, when somebody in the church is hurting, we're supposed to be there to help them, not kick them while they're down.
Boy,
well, I know somebody in your church, they're a sinner. Yeah, all of them. I know somebody in your church that they sang a song and they're a hypocrite. Not as big as your mouth. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be perfect to serve.
Amen.
Because if that's the case, only Jesus could.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I can't believe you have somebody in your church that used to be a drunk. Yeah, he teaches Sunday school. His name's Mike Schenenberger. Got saved at 26 years old or 27 years old. In his words, a commode hugging drunk. But look what God has done. I can't believe you do that. Well, look around. We got a pretty good full church house today. Now, I say that to say this. God says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We all need a church. Jesus started the church. He compares the church to marriage and home. He compares it to the body. And everybody needs a church. I do a lot of funerals. Sometimes I do funerals for people that aren't a member of our church, but it's an extended family member of somebody in our church. You know how sad it is for them to look at me and say, our family doesn't have a church. Don't know what to do. Well, just come on in. It's okay. I'll love you. Our church will love you. There are people here, maybe you just need to jump in and join. It's okay. The water's fine. There's other crazy people in the world just like you. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
Say why? Because I think we ought to be a part of something that Jesus started. Just believe it. Say, well, how do you become a member? First of all, you have to be saved. You have to have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior to wash your sin away and take you to heaven. Then you have to be baptized. You can be baptized and become a member of the church. Or if you've been baptized by immersion already and like to join us, hey, we're old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, hell preaching, not afraid of it, not ashamed of it. And this preacher has a backbone.
Amen.
I don't wiggle when I walk and there's no lace on my underwear. Not afraid of it. Come back next Sunday, I'm preaching on Jesus being a man. Can I tell you something? Jesus wasn't this long-haired little maggot that wiggled when he walked saying, peace, peace, peace.
Amen.
Ain't no man in the world following that.
No.
Mm-mm. I believe in preaching truth, preaching it square, preaching it straight, preaching it hard, punching the nose, punching the mouth, wherever we got to punch you with it to get the truth to you. But may I say this, I think we ought to love just as deeply. You do that for love, not because you hate something other than sin. I hate sin, but I sure do love sinners. That's what kind of church we have. On our sign, it says we're a hospital, not a museum. It's in a place where we're putting somebody on display. We're here to help people. We're here to meet their needs. We're here to help them when times are tough. We're here when they're facing cancer. Not her, but her husband. We're here when I'm with Wally in the car and the doctor says, Wally, we're at the end with Fred and we have to bring hospice in. And she texted me this morning. She said, tell my church family I love them. Couldn't make it without them. Said, does that hurt, preacher? Oh, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts to love. But just because it hurts doesn't mean it's wrong. Sometimes it keeps you sensitive enough to help more people. How about we say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord? Let's just do our part. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. If you've never been saved, how about you come forward today? We'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join this church, so all you got to do is come forward. We'll put your name on the card and we'll gladly accept you. Just jump in. It's okay. Get involved. Not for me. And I don't mean this the wrong way, not for the church, but for your sake and for God's sake.